You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Can you hear it?
Well, good call. Good call. Hold on. Hold on, everybody. Let's try this again. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the top-rated sportsbook out there. I am Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli, as always, as by the time this live show is over, there will be NHL hockey on your TV screens. It will be back, and in less than 24 hours, it will be Colorado Avalanche hockey.
Yeah, 24 hours from now, we will be watching Avs Wild.
Yep. Cannot wait.
Oh, my God.
One more day, and it's finally back. Even if it is an exhibition game, it is still what we've been waiting for over 4 months now. Man, brutal. 4.5 months almost.
Pretty much four. I mean, shut down on the 12th, so it's over 4.5 months.
Yeah, proper games, not quite 5 months until you get to proper games, basically.
Yep.
I'm just excited to watch anything right now. This Flyers-Pens game that it's coming on in 40 minutes here, I'm going to just devour, basically. But anyway.
If you're subscribed to DNVR and you're in the lounge, come hang out. We're going to be, I will be in there. I don't know if you will be, but I will be hanging out.
Live chatting about the game anyway as we watch, so
yeah,
that's the amazing thing about Discord, is it's just like it's almost like a digital crowd to just chat with.
It really is. I mean, this is how I get through a long distance relationship. You watch movies together.
Yep.
There was a service that we used when we first started dating, and now it's like we just have Discord. You don't need
Discord
it anymore.
Discord is the free version of that service.
Discord worked because that service shut down because they were like, well, we can't monetize this. And it was like, I don't know how you can't monetize this. This is an amazing thing that a bunch of people use. And now it's just like, oh, Discord just gives it away. And it's like, that's why you can't monetize it. Somebody's just giving it away.
That'll do it.
Now we're here.
Appreciate the kind words, chat. We're glad we made it. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, all the other people talking about, oh, Avs fans deserve a proper Avalanche podcast or what? Try and get through 5 days a week during a pandemic and then act like you're a proper Avs podcast. Then you can stunt on anybody. But until that happens, all y'all pretenders.
We out here. That's all.
We were the only ones that made it through all of this. We were the only ones that cared enough to actually hang around and try and provide some content during a freaking pandemic. And it's because we love this more than anybody else, and we love y'all more than anybody else. So,
said it better.
Hockey is coming back in less than an hour. I'm so ready.
So, as you informed me earlier today, the exhibition games are, in fact, 13 forwards, 7 defensemen.
Yep.
Which is great news for the Avs, given that they have 13 forwards they want to put in their starting lineup, and I'm sure a few others they'd like to try out.
100%. So,
Is it that easy for the exhibition? Do you just run your top 13, or do you try and work an O'Connor in there? Do you try and work someone else?
For the exhibition game, you know, I probably would. I want to see what Shane Bowers has. I'm sorry. I just want to. I want to see what Bowers has. I would put him in there. I would put Jost in there. I would put Timmons in there. I will put Byram in there. I will put all the exciting young kids, and I would put everybody on notice that these guys are going to be in the lineup next year when they're defending the cup. And if they go out and they smoke Minnesota's playoff roster, then, you know, all y'all on notice.
Easy game, yeah.
That's what I would do. That's the ultimate power move. Hey, we're going to put a handful of the kids in who are going to take jobs next season. We're still going to roll y'all. And we're going to see what you do in the offseason to try and catch up, because you booty.
The power move of beating the Minnesota Wild with children.
That's what I would do.
So, it's that simple. Who sits then? Obviously, you get an extra spot, but if you're running O'Connor, you're running Byram, you're running Timmins, you're running Bowers, you know, someone's not going to get that exhibition game. Someone's going to jump right in the round robin.
I would sit the older guys. Sit a Cole, sit EJ, sit Belmar. If you wanted to, you could sit Calvert just because he's so injury prone.
Don't go there.
Like, don't even take the chance. When he gets hurt, you want it to be in a real game. Like,
yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, Calvert's going to bring the same energy to every game, no matter what, too.
Well, and that's that type of player. Fear.
Right.
Like, that's why I'm not wasting an exhibition game on Matt Calvert, is because he's going to go 400 miles an hour trying to kill a penalty. It doesn't count. And it's like, just.
You've already blocked a shot with your head this year, dude.
Yeah, he's back on the throttle. Just take the power away from him and let him sit. And I would go. I would slot in some of the younger guys that you just want to give a look to, without it having without it having to matter like the round robin will.
Yeah, I guess the other question that's kind of been circulating today, more news about Mark Barberio potentially going overseas to sign. Does that change his spot in the lineup at all, or is he still just expected to play in his seventh-ish D role?
I would say Barbs or Connaughton is first guy off the bench on the defense, and whichever one they prefer.
Yeah.
I would just say, because Barbs has been with the team for so long, he's earned that. Just personally, that's how I feel about it. But him having a deal in Switzerland to go and do something when he's done, like, good for him. Especially if the Avs had already been like, hey, we're not gonna bring you back at the end of this deal. If you want to get a jump on something for next season, especially a European deal where you had to get those a little earlier, especially with no free agency this year.
Well, given that European seasons could start in like 2 months.
Right. He could go straight from winning the cup to playing in the NLA.
Yep. So,
like, good for if that ultimately ends up being true, and we've heard smoke about this for a while.
Yeah.
It came out again today. I didn't check the sourcing on it. I didn't actually dig into it very much, which was irresponsible on my part, but I just haven't done it yet. But it seems to be very much a consistent thing that we continue to hear. So I'm willing to just take the leap of faith and say that that's probably true. And good for him, you know. And think about it. If you were 30 years old and you had been in the NHL the last couple of years, you knew that you were probably on the tail end of your career. You weren't going to get another NHL deal. Why not?
Right. Go make hundreds of thousands of dollars continuing to play hockey.
Right. Like, he's done the AHL bus thing, trying to get a job.
Yep.
And riding around playing in these smaller. Why not go live in Europe for a year or two? Make the same kind of money that you're making in the AHL.
Go get live an in awesome Switzerland, life dude. Experience. Switzerland is beautiful.
Yeah. Like, especially, you know, no kids. Just go do your thing. I think that would be if I was a hockey player and I was facing the reality of, hey, NHL wise, I'm probably not getting another deal. I'm on the wrong side of 30. I haven't like hardcore won a job and proven that I am this guy that I have to be here. I'm going to have to go win another job. There's no guarantee. I could end up in like Cleveland or something next year. Like, you know, instead of taking that chance that he ends up in Grand Rapids because he signed on a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, why not go to Switzerland? That's exactly how I would approach it.
Miko said it best. No wife, no kids, no consideration.
Straight up. Like, not what he was talking about, but it still applies.
Do you think you could be a third pairing guy in the NHL somewhere? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. A seventh D maybe.
Yeah, I've long felt that he's a rotational guy.
Yeah.
The role that he's played in Colorado has been perfect for him. He's such a great teammate that he maybe got to stick around an extra year because everybody loves him. But as we've seen, and this is no knock on him, but I think the talent around him has passed him.
Yep.
You know, not even like a Kanaan, but with Timmins and Byram both sitting there.
And he's no longer young enough to be that, like, even a Ryan Graves type where you're like, maybe there's still something more here. It's just he is at this point.
When they claimed him, he was 27.
Right.
And like that, and we, you know, all the studies on aging curves show that's still like right. Considered prime territory. Yeah. The tail end of the prime. By 30, you're definitely, you know, star players are coming out of primes.
Yep.
Seventh defensemen are, you know, you're probably done.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it's smart for him to get a jump on this.
Yep.
He's secured a job for next season and he's good to go. And you know, selfishly, anybody that's a longtime listener of the pod knows that I'm very, very fond of Barbs, and I have a lot of good memories with him. Because he's just a good dude. He's just a good dude and easily one of the nicest guys in the game. And I know you hear that about every, like, there's always that guy on every team that a media person is like, oh, just the greatest guy you'll ever meet. But those fools are lying. Mark Barberio is the greatest guy you'll ever meet.
Does Barbs have all of his teeth? I can't remember him not missing or missing any teeth.
As far as I know. Yeah.
All right. So maybe Mark Barberio doesn't need Green Mountain Dental Group, but plenty of hockey players certainly do.
Just on speed dial, just in case.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because in hockey, you could lose a tooth at any moment, basically.
That's right.
But Green Mountain Dental Group has you covered, whether you're losing teeth on the ice or you're just looking for a regular dental checkup. Either way, they are one of the best damn family-owned dentists in the metro area, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like everyone here at DNVR. They have a great location out in Lakewood, just 15 minutes from downtown Denver, so they're extremely easy to get to. Our very own sales director, Lindsay, just had her wisdom teeth out over there, and she said it was one of the best dental experiences of her entire life. Plus, when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush, the electric kind as well, to make brushing super easy. You just stick it in there and it basically takes care of your teeth for you. So schedule that cleaning, x-ray, and exam today and get that free Sonicare toothbrush. And of course, today's show sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app with bets all over the board here. I'm not sure. I bet you can even bet on these exhibition games. I haven't actually looked, to be honest with you, because I'm too busy getting hyped about betting on McKinnon winning the Conn Smythe instead, because that's the real bet. That's where it's at. Let's face it. Or you can bet on McDavid like AJ wants to for most points in the play-in round. Either way, though, plenty of money to be made out there on hockey, out there on baseball for now. Bet on the Marlins not playing and you'll make a lot of money.
Bet on baseball while you can.
Yeah, that's all true. I'm gonna say. That's true. Get your baseball bets in now because you might not be able to later. And of course, basketball, NASCAR, soccer, you name it, UFC, huge one as well. I think Colorado in the first couple months there led everyone in betting on table tennis. They bet like $6 million on table tennis or something.
Yeah, so, I think it was the first month of sports betting being legalized in Colorado. Yeah. They made about $29 million. and the most bet on sport was table tennis.
So if you want to bet on it, you absolutely can over at DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm no table tennis expert, but if you are, DraftKings has you covered. Jump on it today and make whatever bet you want. You even have special odds this week where you bet $20 on any team when you first sign up and you can win $100. So go to DraftKings Sportsbook, download their app today, and use code DNVR when you sign up. All users can get that bet 20 to win 100 bonus with that DNVR code. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNBR Avalanche podcast. So, AJ, you're about playing the kids. You're about playing the kids in the exhibition. No doubt you'd like to see some get in during the round robin as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's more like Jost.
Jost, and if someone scores a hat trick in the exhibition, play them maybe.
Yeah, maybe give them the first round robin game.
All right.
And then if he has no shots on goal in 8 minutes of time, then you're like, never mind.
Okay, back to the status quo then.
Yeah. Get back to the bench.
But one thing we can always do is add more kids. That's something every team does every single year at the draft, except for that 1 year the Chicago Bears traded all of their picks. Because, you know, Mike Ditka's crazy.
That was the New Orleans Saints.
Was it the Saints? Oh, my bad. Clearly my football knowledge is lacking, and that's why I'm on the Avs podcast.
Yeah.
Either way.
You traded them all for Ricky Williams.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't trade all your picks. Unless you're sure you're about to win a championship.
I mean, Ricky Williams was coming off one of the most prolific college football careers of all time.
Mm-hmm. And how many championships did he win?
In the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he played for the Dolphins for a long time. So, I mean, the Dolphins and Saints is a bad combination for championship winning football.
Yeah.
Back then, anyway.
Yeah. The Saints had their moment, but.
Yeah. Well, and they're still good. Like, Sean Payton and Drew Brees still doing their thing. That era has been the only memorable era of their whole existence outside of the 5 minutes of Archie, I guess.
Either way, the point I was trying to make is...
Yeah, what was the point?
The Avs have draft picks that they're going to use this year. And we, for a little bit of fun today, if you were hanging out in the DNVR lounge, you saw one of AJ's mock drafts.
My all-defenseman draft?
Yeah, only defenseman, all defenseman. But we decided to run a couple of sims for ourselves and make a few picks here and just see what we came up with for the Avs' first two picks, that being the first round and the third round at the moment. We can talk about that a little bit, and we'll get into, I think, what we both ultimately want, which is for the Avs to trade for a second-round pick.
Yeah. Maybe another third while they're at it.
Yeah. Because some parts of the pipeline are starting to look a little bit dry at the moment.
When you look at the Avs pipeline, you look at that reserve list, it's basically the forwards are good at a lot of different levels. You've got a couple of guys that you like everywhere. And on different staggered timelines at that. So that's nice. What you don't like is that basically the graduation of Byram and Timmins. That's it.
It leaves you with, well, hopefully Helleson is something in a couple of years, basically. Yeah.
And Drew Helleson is a minimum 3-year college guy.
Yep.
And that was true before the pandemic. If they cancel this fall hockey season, I don't know what
Who even knows those guys
do. So New Hook is one of the ones that you would say is close to the NHL, so you're not too worried. Like he's gonna be here sooner than later. But there's guys like Sampo Ranta where he'll sign after you would expect he would have signed after his junior year, which is the upcoming season for him.
You just have so many, right? You have Kaut more in the immediate. You can throw Powers into that category as well. Then you have Newhook in 2 years. And then after that, you have Ranta. You have Bocage. You have Kovalenko probably in a year or two. It's
right.
The prospect pipeline in the forward side is very wet. the defensive side is pretty dry.
It's basically Drew Helison, and then you're hoping one of the Notre Dame guys pans out.
Yeah, and Ravilov is a total mystery, really.
Right. Ravilov coming to North America and how he adjusts and all the different – we're beyond getting overly hyped about Russian kids coming over to North America unless they play substantially in the KHL.
Yep.
So Tyler Weiss is a four-year college guy, and we'll see. I have to say, though, the way that he has progressed in his game in the first couple of years is encouraging. But he needs to take some big steps forward, and he needs to fill out. Like, he just
– yes.
He's so tiny.
He's still. Not Smirnov. Smirnov was like a one-year wonder almost.
Well, and he was an over-year. Yeah. He was a second-time eligible guy.
Right. And Weiss has made progress from his freshman to his sophomore year. But basically, like AJ said, he's got to find a way to be able to drive play individually a bit more.
Yeah. And we'll see with Weiss. Like, he still has two full years to go, and he's got time.
He's just another one on the pile for the Avs,
right?
Though
the big difference between Weiss and Ranta is that Ranta's physically matured to the point where he would fit into pro hockey right away.
Yep,
and wouldn't have to make any major changes to his game. Weiss would just be, you're hoping he can survive.
Blown up, please.
So Weiss is a guy that just have to hang on. But all of this is to say, we're not trying to do like a full system breakdown here. It was just the defensemen in the system are really, really thin, and that's really where we think Colorado should focus. You know, it's always take the best player available, and that's how you and I both approached the first round.
Yep.
But after that, it was like, hey, we need to start focusing on defense. Cam Morrison, unless something has happened in the last 20 minutes since this pod has been live, I'm not expecting Cam Morrison to get an NHL deal. It would not surprise me if he signed with the Avs on an AHL deal. Exactly, and see kind of what he has to offer. And that's assuming he doesn't get an ELC from another team. I don't think that's going to happen with the Avalanche. I think that they are facing a situation where they know ELC's contracts, the contract limit and all that. They're not going to push up against it this year. But next year, they have as many as 8 ELCs that they could be handing out.
Yep.
So they need to be careful.
Yep.
Igor leaving opened up a spot, which increased Morrison's chances that they haven't signed him to one, says they're going to wait until August 15th. And then if he gets a deal from someone else, then he does. Congratulations to him. If he doesn't, I could very realistically see an AHL deal with the Eagles, but I don't think he'll get an NHL deal from the Avs right away.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the reality of that situation. But we did use the FC Hockey NHL Entry Draft Mock Draft platform to make a couple of picks based off of their rankings. They have a simulator that will have other teams make picks for you. And I should throw this out there. Probably won't happen for a while with the playoffs about to get going. But if being part of one of these mock drafts is an interesting thing to you, hit us up. And we'd love to do a mock draft with like a full 31 player-controlled teams in the future at some time. So if that's something you want to do.
We did the franchise or the fantasy draft last summer where we had the whole Discord and we made all the picks and it was a whole live thing. We would love to do that as for the entry draft this year to get we have a GM for each team. If you want to sign up and be an AGM for a team, you could do that too. Like, I would be all for that. And we would love to have a podcast that's just dedicated to us doing a live NHL mock draft with everybody is GMs, because one of the things that sucks about these simulators is that there are picks that you could take umbrage with right away.
Yep.
For example, the simulation that I ran that I'm going to use here that we're going to talk about has Jack Quinn, who is very likely going to be going in the top 15 somewhere, dropping all the way to 26. And that just doesn't seem very likely.
Yeah.
Should we be doing one where actual people are controlling all of that? That probably doesn't happen, and some of those outliers wouldn't exist.
Yeah, so would love to do that in the future, but for now this is what we have. The Avs are slated to pick 27th at this point, just given that, you know, the playoffs haven't happened and it's not exactly clear as far as that's concerned.
Right. So the other area to be determined is we don't even know where they have pick. It could be 27. It could be 22.
Yep. So for now, they assumed it was 27. I have to say, I ran a handful of these sims, and almost every single time, based on these rankings, William Wallander was there, and I picked him almost every single time, except for this one.
Yeah. So the thing was, the thing that you and I both found in common here, and that we had, when we were focusing on the draft, thinking they were going to jam it into June sometime, we had kind of fallen on the side of, if it's not William Wallander, there's not going to be another defenseman in that area that we're comfortable drafting.
Yeah, I agree. I know a lot of people are high on Helga Grains, but he's still just not for me.
But me neither. I'm for the record, I also think he goes.
Yeah, he may well, but.
But right. That's one of those things, you know, where it's.
So all this hype for defensemen, we both want a defenseman in the first round, but the way the board fell, as AJ said, you have to take the best player available and one that just stands out is there.
Mm-hmm.
And my board fell with the injured kid, Hendrix Lapierre, still available at 27. And ultimately, I decided to take him because you're picking at the end of the first round and that guy just has more talent than everyone else on the board.
Right. And this is that's a guy where with Lapierre, we were talking about him as, you know, a top 10 pick coming into the season. And it's just not, you know, When you're picking 27th, you're talking and you get an opportunity to take a guy like that, you have to at least strongly consider, regardless of how strong you are down the middle. It's not a positional need for the Avalanche. Even high end center isn't a positional need. They're one of like three teams in the NHL that can just cross that off their list and be like, we're not dying for this guy.
It's right. Again, it's more about the talent disparity of the players around him when you're picking there.
It's just 100% that when you're picking 27, you're just happy to get an NHL player.
Yep.
But if a guy like Lapierre falls to you, you're talking about potentially getting an impact player, a really good NHL player. Mm-hmm. And that's yes, of course, sickness easily. But That's the situation where you're just taking you're all in on a guy that's got great talent.
Yep.
And that's the appeal. And that's why you go that route. For me, I kind of something similar. I took Noel Gundler.
Yep.
Who's one of the draft's biggest boomer bust prospects. Sure. And
yeah, you're going to get a straight up big boy NHLer, or you're gonna get a dude that never makes the NHL out of that.
Yeah, game. you're gonna get a guy that either comes to camp and you're like, whoa, who the hell is this guy? Or you're gonna get a guy that comes to camp and gets swallowed whole by the competition and the intensity and the physicality and completely disappears, and you're like, oh my god, we have a massive problem. And that's, for the record, when Connor Bleakley showed up at his first training camp, that did not happen. None of us were concerned about it at his training camp because he took a run at Landeskog and sniped a couple of goals where you were like, you can see it. Okay. I'm behind this. And then a bunch of other stuff happened and it blew up in their face, and it's the worst, one of the worst picks they've made in the last 20 years. Gundler could be worse than that, and that's the fear.
Yeah,
but the upside, again, like Lapierre, you're buying on the boom part of that conversation.
You're shooting your shot for sure. Yeah,
you're saying, look, we're at 27. I can either take William Wallander and hope that guy pans out into a second pairing defenseman for me, or I could take Noel Gundler, and this dude could be. This dude could be a 30-goal scorer that we end up using to replace Andrei Burakovsky in 4 years.
Yep. Like, that's the upside, basically.
Right. Like, this could be the ELC that helps us. So it's like this, that's the upside there. So knowing that the defensive pipeline is barren after the top two guys, and that we both need defense, we both drafted forwards.
Yep. This is something we've talked about, not just this year, but many times in every year. You just have to play to the board. The board is going to fall the way it's going to fall, and you have to play off of it and take what is usually in the first round the best player available. But you have to take what's there.
And you and I both had a chance to take Wallander as the last defenseman that was kind of high on both of our boards that we really liked, whose talent we were buying into, who's also just a really good fit for Colorado. Honestly, he's a really good fit. We both had him on our board, and we were both like,
can't do it. Yep.
Yep. Gotta go somewhere else.
Yep. That's just how it happens sometimes. And
yeah,
you can run that sim 30 times and, you know, Lapierre's there, maybe three or four of them.
Yeah. This was the first I've run it 5 times today. And it's the first time Gundler was there. So
there you go. Moving on down the list, the Avs don't have a second round pick, first of all, which if you're picking forward in the first round is a huge problem, because there's a bunch of defensemen that go in the second round.
There's going to be a really big run on D in the second round.
Yep. Let's see. In my mock, there were 9 defensemen picked in the second round.
Mine had 10.
So, second round is where you want to be if you want to take a defenseman.
Yep.
Including plenty of guys we have talked about, like Mook Medulin, Ryan O'Rourke. The list goes on.
Justin Barron
as well.
We talked a little bit about Emil Andre.
Yep.
We have not actually talked too much about the Finnish kids this year.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll get there.
In time.
They've been kind of on the rise as the process sort of reached
it. The Finns, man, they always rise somehow. Like,
yeah, well, and the timeline of this year was so weird because everybody was preparing for the draft like it was going to happen at a normal time, and then it didn't.
Yeah,
and everybody's lists were done, and all the scouting services had published all their stuff, and it was like, okay, we're finished, and now it's like,
but you're not actually.
13 minutes from now, we're watching exhibition hockey from that same season. So it's been a weird year.
Well, on that note, we do have to take our second period break of the day. And, of course, it's time to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Not cracking one yet, but about to go crack one as I watch some real proper NHL hockey in just a few minutes here. So you can pick up yours at your local Davidson's or any local liquor store at this point. Or if you want to support directly at the source, you can either go down to the farmhouse in Littleton or head over to the DNVR bar and get one of 8 of their Breckenridge breweries right on tap for you with a ton of choices. I believe they just tapped the keg on Mountain Beach, but they're putting in a Strawberry Sky in its place. So you can't go wrong with either of those beers.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Strawberry Sky on tap, baby. Either way, head on down to anywhere you can find your Breckenridge Brew. You can always use the Breck Brew locator on their website. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. Nope. I knew I was going to do that. It's presented by DraftKings Sportsbook now. Davidson's our super long-time presenter. Thank you to them as well. Either way, DraftKings now. So what are you betting on here, AJ? As we move down to the Avs' third round, I was really, really hoping Emil Vero was going to fall to me, but he didn't make it.
He didn't even come close for me.
Yeah, way gone.
Yeah, the guy that I was the forward that I was really hoping would get to me that I really like a lot is Alexander Poshin.
Mm-hmm.
He's real tiny, but boy, is he an explosive offensive talent.
I mean, that's the exact type of guy that you look for in the third round, right?
An explosive offensive talent? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's there's going to be a large hole in his game, whether it's his size, his skating, whatever. Yeah. But if there's something with significant upside there, you say, look, we could get an NHL player out of this.
Definitely. If you can find a guy in the third round, the way that I always look at it is if you can find a guy in the third round with one NHL tool and you believe that you can build the rest around him, or you're just magically hoping that some pixie dust gets sprinkled on him and he works really hard and, you know, it just become and he develops a second NHL tool, great.
Like, that's, yeah.
that's how I approach it. And we saw it last year. The two guys that they took in the third round had two NHL tools.
Yep.
Alex Bocage had the shot and Steinberg had the size and physicality and kind of that that power forward game, that approach, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll call it like makeup. So those, you know, those that they're hoping that each of those guys can better round out their games. With Steinberg, they're hoping it's a little more of an offensive profile. With Bocage, it's skating.
Yep.
If those guys can round out those aspects of their games, they'll be in the NHL someday. Yeah, and so looking around, I don't know what your board looked like, but a whole lot of guys who are 5'9".
Yeah, see, I went with the guy who wasn't 5'9".
But I went with one who was 5'11".
Okay, yeah, I went a little bigger than that. I didn't get Sokolov, who went at 75, unfortunately, but settled for the 6'2" Maxim Groshev, who as an 18-year-old played 37 games in the KHL this year, put up only 7 points, nothing crazy for a right winger. But again, this is somewhat similar to a Kovalenko type on the forward side in the regards of, look, yeah, if you're playing proper minutes in the KHL at this young of an age, there is a lot there to like, and I think the upside is fairly significant. He played a handful of games in Russian juniors this year, and they basically said, you're too good for this league, go away. So compared to his peers, he stands out quite a bit. Again, 6'2", 200-pound guy. So he has the size that someone like a Kovalenko is lacking a little bit. Not quite the same bulldogish mentality as a Kovalenko, but look, you're asking for the pretty much standard Russian prototypical forward here, where you say, look, go spend a couple of years in the KHL, which is an extremely offensive league, figure out your offense, and then we'll talk about bringing it to the NHL.
And one of the other things that you really like about that is that he does not play for one of the power organizations in the KHL.
The ones that actually win championships and stuff.
Right. Well, and the ones who have the money to keep their guys from leaving.
Yep.
That's, you know, you take a St. Petersburg or somebody, you know, one of the government funded
teams.
Right. Like one of the jewel franchises in the KHL, you know, yeah, you're immediately reducing the opportunity that you're going to have to convince that guy to come over in a timely fashion.
Yep.
If at all.
Right.
And with Groshev, he does not play for one of those programs. So
obviously the results didn't work out, but similar story with with guys like Igor, and honestly, it hasn't happened yet, but someone like a Zaravlyov too, where the teams just say, look, we can only pay who we can pay. And the KHL salary cap, if you don't know, has been shrinking pretty significantly over the past couple of years too.
Yeah, so, I think it even led to a contraction of one of the teams. They just didn't have the money anymore.
Yep. So if players are looking to make money, coming over is becoming a better and better option for these Russian players.
Even ELC money, where they make 70,000 in the AHL, but they make a 92,000 in a signing bonus.
Yep.
That's meaningful cash for those guys.
With the signing bonus, especially for the younger guys, it's probably as much as they're making in the KHL.
Yeah. It's a big deal. So that's just where the financial reality of the KHL is losing ground in its fight to keep its talent.
Yep.
And that's why guys like this, like a Groshev or even, well.
Pick your poison here.
Yeah. Honestly, like Pashin is another good example. Like another where you get these mid-round Russian kids who are still in Russia, and you have a better chance than ever at getting them to come over just because of the financial
aspect of it. Yep.
Yeah. So I actually stuck to the plan and went with a defenseman.
At least one of us did.
I went with Luke Reed out of Chicago, the USHL. I'm nervous about the USHL because I don't know what's next for those guys.
Yep.
The upside of him being in the USHL already and not in the NCAA is the USHL is already planning to continue its season and have its season kind of go on, not as normal, but as normal as possible. And if the college hockey gets canceled, the USHL and the USHL continues, he just stays there. That obviously that's not great for his development. It puts him behind a year, all those different things, but it's at least he's at least playing.
And the reality is a lot of kids are going to be in that boat if that's how it shakes out. So
he's in the same draft class as all these other guys. It's not like he's the only one going through it. So it would just kind of put this entire draft class a little bit behind. And that's just the reality of it. And with Reed, he's more of a defender than a puck mover. Given his size, that's iffy, but he's got a certain tenacity to him that I really like, and he's right-handed.
I mean, if there's any organization that trusts a smaller guy to be quality on defense, it's the Avs after Sam Girard, right?
Right. So I like him, and he picks his spots offensively. You know, you and I have watched a handful of Steel games because they had
Brisson,
Well, they had Brisson and Colangelo, Reed. Yeah. Well, right. They've got four or five guys who are going
to
get drafted.
A bunch of guys that are supposed to go in the mid rounds. So,
so we've seen a handful of the Steel this offseason that we've watched, and I like him. I like his game. I'm familiar with it. Just need to keep taking defensemen. Keep taking defensemen and seeing how they can pan out, trying to rebuild that system, because they will need to replace an Ian Cole or a Ryan Graves in 2 or 3 years on ELCs. They'll need to do that because, you know, to Girard on his contract, Makar on his next contract, you're hoping Timmins and Byram on their second or third contracts are worth legit money. You're going to need ELCs.
And this is, again, where the second round pick comes back in. Look, if a defenseman's the best pick in the first round, great. Take him and be happy with it. But having that second round pick allows the Avs, if the Avs D pipeline had 3 Drew Helisons in it right now, you'd be feeling pretty okay.
Yeah. We would not be talking. We would not be sitting here having this conversation about, oh, we've got it. You have to force a defenseman in the mid rounds.
Yeah. Agreed. So that's what they need to fill out their pipeline with is exactly that. And hopefully they can do it in the third round. Maybe they do in the first, but having that second round pick just gives them a lot more latitude to take the player they want at each position.
Yep. And when we're talking about trying to get that extra pick, it's probably with the trade of a defenseman. A guy like Zadorov is probably the likeliest candidate to go. If he goes on his own.
Yep.
If he goes on his own, it's probably a draft pick or two here or there. If he goes in a
package of some sort,
yeah, then you're expecting more of a return than that. But you definitely would love to sneak a second round pick somewhere in there.
For sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, you can't forget about that. When we talk about, oh, Timmins and Byram are graduating and that's why the pipeline's so thin. Sure. But now you also have 8 NHL defensemen.
Right. That's the cost of the graduation, is that it's like, hey, you're saving the money on those ELCs to move out Zadorov's near UFA status.
Yep.
So that's the balancing act that you got to have. Rudo, let's get out of here. Hockey's about to start. Yep, we got to go.
Puck drop is happening in just a couple minutes. So we are out of here for today. Had to hit back to my favorite draft content to get us through this final day before Avalanche hockey. We will be coming at you tomorrow post-game. After the Avs exhibition game to talk everything about it. So keep an eye out for that one. We hope to see you there. Enjoy the hockey, and it's back, baby. Let's go.